Well, greetings, everyone. For those of you who'd like to jot down a title for the sermonette today, The Restitution of All Things and Peace. The Restitution of All Things and Peace. Today we see many countries, civilizations, in a constant state of conflict and war. Peace, although often discussed and sought after by way of treaty, brokered peace deal, always seems unattainable, and it's always just out of reach. Most recently, the war in Afghanistan, which after 20 years has now come to an end, and it was a war intended to rid the country of extremists and bring stability to the region to bring peace. February 2020, after more than a year of lengthy negotiations, the U.S. government and the Taliban both signed a peace agreement that set a timeline for the withdrawal of the U.S. troops and laid a path for the creation of a joint government. And this was to be a recipe to secure lasting peace for the country. This agreement following nearly two decades of instability and war. Since 2001, 6,000 Americans and over 100,000 Afghan lives have been lost, with the United States spending more than $2 trillion in this effort alone. Just a few short weeks ago, the world looked on as the Taliban recaptured the country of Afghanistan at an alarming rate of just 10 short days. As the U.S. began withdrawing troops from each city, each military base around the country, each was just as quick to be filled with enemy soldiers, leaving the world utterly in shock and dumbfounded. The 300,000 trained Afghan security forces nowhere to be found. 20 years and still no closer to peace than the day the war started. Never in history of mankind have wars and fighting ever brought about harmony. So history repeats itself once again. I pulled a handful of monetary statistics from this 20-year conflict, providing a glimpse of the great lengths financially man will go to in the name of achieving peace. The total bill for the Afghanistan war, for the United States alone, around $2.26 trillion. And you know, I did some math on that one. It comes out to $300 million a day. Forbes had an excellent quote placing this into a great perspective. They wrote, "Uncle Sam has spent more keeping the Taliban at bay," notice those terms, not defeating, "than the net worth of Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, and the 30 richest billionaires in America combined." That's an incredible amount of funding. Brown University researchers estimate more than $500 billion, with a B, in interest has already been paid. That's included in that $2.26 trillion sum. They estimate by the year 2050, the cost of interest alone on our Afghan war debt could reach $6.5 trillion, which breaks down to roughly $20,000 for each and every U.S. citizen to bear. And this is 30 years after the war has ended, still paying the price. For the last 6,000 years, mankind has thrown entire fortunes, gold, silver, land, arranged marriages, nothing new under the sun, striving desperately to achieve lasting peace, yet continuing to fall short every time. The carnal approach, another direct effect of choosing from the tree of knowledge of good and evil versus the tree of life. And that's in a world ruled by Satan, who deceives and misleads, a world absent of God's laws and his government. Just prior to this millennium, there was a major event which was prophesied to occur, setting in motion this 1,000-year time period of unparalleled peace and prosperity. Please turn with me to Acts 3, verse 20 through 21. Let's take a look at this event captured here in Acts 3. Verse 20 through 21. And it reads, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And what is this? Restitution of all things. I'd like to read an excerpt from a coworker letter dated August 4th, 1982, where Mr. Armstrong plainly explains just what the restitution of all things entails. And he says, "Now what are the all things to be restored? Restitution means restore to a former state or condition. It does not and cannot mean restoring things to a condition as they were in the days of Adam and Eve. It was Adam who was given the opportunity to restore all things as they were before Lucifer and the angels sinned, before Lucifer became Satan and his angels became demons. Before that, the government of God ruled the earth. Lucifer sat on the throne of the earth, administering the government of God by the law of God. Sin is the transgression of the spiritual law. It is the government of God that needs to be restored." And we see here that Adam failed. He failed as he rejected the tree of life, and in doing so, the restitution of all things, or restoring of God's government on the earth during that time. The foundation that makes possible all things to be restored begins with the restoration and obedience of God's government and God's laws. And we know that only under that government can there be true peace. Isaiah 9 verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." God's government, the God family, will forever live and teach his laws and his way of life as teachers of peace. No more war, famine, disease, hunger, vaccinations, fear, and the list goes on. And we know that peace is an effect. And as an effect, there has to be a cause. So I want to spend the remainder of my time looking at how the carnal mind will be changed to the God mind and converted way of thinking, which will bring about true peace. First, to have peace, or to be a peacemaker, we will teach how to love God, his law, and commandments. We know 1 John 5:3 tells us, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or a burden." The keeping of God's commandments shows or reflects our love for him, and in doing so begins to transition human nature, or the carnal mind, to the God mind, or converted mind. Man cannot have peace until the nature of man is changed or the carnal mind is changed. In the book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, on page 76, halfway down the page, Mr. Armstrong explains this very plainly. He says, "When God's laws are in our hearts, when we love God's ways and in our hearts want to live by them, human nature will be placed under subjection. People will want to live the way that is the cause of peace, happiness, abundance, joyful well-being. But remember, the humans remaining on the earth after Christ's return, ruled then by Christ, and those resurrected or changed to immortality will themselves still have human nature. They will still be unconverted. It's a process of unlearning and relearning. It's often said that the most challenging aspect about learning anything new is unlearning that which we already know. Similarly, Mr. Armstrong time and again said that it is 10 times more difficult to unlearn error than to learn truth. And as we started with the topic of war, let's look at the contrast in the millennium and how those weapons of war will be used. We know that there will be weapons of war remaining during this early period of time in the millennium. Please turn with me to Isaiah 2, verse 3 through 4. Isaiah 2, verse 3 through 4. And we'll see very familiar scripture painting a picture of this time now. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Verse 4. "He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train or learn war anymore." Notice when God's government is reestablished and restored upon the earth, we see an immediate implementation of peace. And it is only when God's government is restored that we can live in a world where the swords are beaten into plowshares, transitioning from destructive minds and mindsets to constructive and peace. As the world relearns the way of peace, they will simultaneously unlearn the ways of war. Let's not forget, war is learned. The United States spent $89 billion training Afghan civilians to learn war. And just as war is learned, the opposite, peace, must also be taught and learned as a critical part of the restitution of all things. Mentioned earlier, beating their swords into plowshares, reversing that behavior. In closing, what a fantastic opportunity we have just ahead of us now in this millennial rule. For the first time, man will not only be taught how to achieve peace, but have the understanding that God is the only true source of peace. As Christ said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." The world will finally be in unity, looking to the source of all peace, actively striving to obtain peace with God and with fellow man. I want to close with an encouraging scripture in 2 Corinthians 13:11. 2 Corinthians 13:11. "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you."